A rose by any other name would smell as sweet is from Romeo and Juliet. In the play, Juliet tells Romeo that his family name is not important. Their love is what matters. To many mothers and fathers, names do matter. Young parents spend many hours trying to find the perfect name for their baby. Many say that names can affect children's futures. A 1948 Harvard study looked at the names of 3,300 graduates. Students with more common names did better than those with more unique names. Another study found that people with certain names were much more likely to attend Oxford University. People named Eleanor were 100 times more likely to get accepted than a student named Jade. Female company CEOs are also more likely to have common names. Interestingly, male executives are more likely to have unique names. There is also a connection between names and who people marry and even where they live. Strangely, there is a higher rate of marriage between people with similar sounding names. And there is a higher rate of people named Virginia living in Virginia, Philip in Philadelphia, and Jackson in Jacksonville. Some psychologists think this is a form of egotism. People feel attracted to people and places with similar sounds to their own names. Many parents have sweated over finding the perfect name. New Yorkers Dalton Conley and Natalie Jermajenko have bucked the trend. They were trying to decide between a handful of names that started with the letter E for their new daughter. They finally chose to just name her E until she was old enough to make the decision by herself. At the age of 16, E hasn't felt the need to change. Her brother, Yoshing Haino Augustus Eisner Alexander Wiesner Knuckles, has taken his parents up on the offer to change. He chose to add Haino and Knuckles at the age of just 4. His parents, respecting his wishes, changed his name. Dalton Conley says, "I have been called a child abuser online. I don't think I've saddled them with some horrible burden. They like the fact that they have unique names now." A rose by any other name would smell as sweet is from Romeo and Juliet. In the play, Juliet tells Romeo that his family name is not important. Their love is what matters. To many mothers and fathers, names do matter. Young parents spend many hours trying to find the perfect name for their baby. Many say that names can affect children's futures. A 1948 Harvard study looked at the names of 3,300 graduates. Students with more common names did better than those with more unique names. Another study found that people with certain names were much more likely to attend Oxford University. People named Eleanor were 100 times more likely to get accepted than a student named Jade. Female company CEOs are also more likely to have common names. Interestingly, male executives are more likely to have unique names. There is also a connection between names and who people marry and even where they live. Strangely, there is a higher rate of marriage between people with similar sounding names. And there is a higher rate of people named Virginia living in Virginia, Philip in Philadelphia, and Jackson in Jacksonville. Some psychologists think this is a form of egotism. People feel attracted to people and places with similar sounds to their own names. Many parents have sweated over finding the perfect name. New Yorkers Dalton Conley and Natalie Jermajenko have bucked the trend. They were trying to decide between a handful of names that started with the letter E for their new daughter. They finally chose to just name her E until she was old enough to make the decision by herself. At the age of 16, E hasn't felt the need to change. Her brother, Yoshing Haino Augustus Eisner Alexander Wiesner Knuckles, has taken his parents up on the offer to change. He chose to add Haino and Knuckles at the age of just 4. His parents, respecting his wishes, changed his name. Dalton Conley says, "I have been called a child abuser online. I don't think I've saddled them with some horrible burden. They like the fact that they have unique names now." A rose by any other name would smell as sweet is from Romeo and Juliet. In the play, Juliet tells Romeo that his family name is not important. Their love is what matters. To many mothers and fathers, names do matter. Young parents spend many hours trying to find the perfect name for their baby. Many say that names can affect children's futures. A 1948 Harvard study looked at the names of 3,300 graduates. Students with more common names did better than those with more unique names. Another study found that people with certain names were much more likely to attend Oxford University. People named Eleanor were 100 times more likely to get accepted than a student named Jade. Female company CEOs are also more likely to have common names. Interestingly, male executives are more likely to have unique names. There is also a connection between names and who people marry and even where they live. Strangely, there is a higher rate of marriage between people with similar sounding names. And there is a higher rate of people named Virginia living in Virginia, Philip in Philadelphia, and Jackson in Jacksonville. Some psychologists think this is a form of egotism. People feel attracted to people and places with similar sounds to their own names. Many parents have sweated over finding the perfect name. New Yorkers Dalton Conley and Natalie Jermajenko have bucked the trend. They were trying to decide between a handful of names that started with the letter E for their new daughter. They finally chose to just name her E until she was old enough to make the decision by herself. At the age of 16, E hasn't felt the need to change. Her brother, Yoshing Haino Augustus Eisner Alexander Wiesner Knuckles, has taken his parents up on the offer to change. He chose to add Haino and Knuckles at the age of just 4. His parents, respecting his wishes, changed his name. Dalton Conley says, "I have been called a child abuser online. I don't think I've saddled them with some horrible burden. They like the fact that they have unique names now."
A satellite has been launched with a mission to map the world's oceans, lakes, rivers, and other waterways. It has been dubbed SWOT, Surface Water and Ocean Topography. It went into space just before dawn. Data from the satellite will help scientists to monitor how climate change is adversely affecting water levels. The broadcaster PBS said, SWOT is needed more than ever as climate change worsens droughts, flooding, and coastal erosion. NASA said SWOT was of pivotal importance. It said, we're going to see Earth's water like we've never seen it before. The satellite is the size of a sports utility vehicle. It took 20 years to make and cost $1.2 billion. High-precision radar will measure the height of water on 90% of Earth's surface. It will survey millions of lakes and 2.1 million kilometers of rivers. It will identify areas of water loss that could threaten populations and coastlines. A NASA spokesperson said, SWOT will give us a tenfold improvement in the accuracy and spatial resolution of our measurements of water height. It will help scientists to understand the critical role the oceans play in climate change. A satellite has been launched with a mission to map the world's oceans, lakes, rivers, and other waterways. It has been dubbed SWOT, Surface Water and Ocean Topography. It went into space just before dawn. Data from the satellite will help scientists to monitor how climate change is adversely affecting water levels. The broadcaster PBS said, SWOT is needed more than ever as climate change worsens droughts, flooding, and coastal erosion. NASA said SWOT was of pivotal importance. It said, we're going to see Earth's water like we've never seen it before. The satellite is the size of a sports utility vehicle. It took 20 years to make and cost $1.2 billion. High-precision radar will measure the height of water on 90% of Earth's surface. It will survey millions of lakes and 2.1 million kilometers of rivers. It will identify areas of water loss that could threaten populations and coastlines. A NASA spokesperson said, SWOT will give us a tenfold improvement in the accuracy and spatial resolution of our measurements of water height. It will help scientists to understand the critical role the oceans play in climate change. A satellite has been launched with a mission to map the world's oceans, lakes, rivers, and other waterways. It has been dubbed SWOT, Surface Water and Ocean Topography. It went into space just before dawn. Data from the satellite will help scientists to monitor how climate change is adversely affecting water levels. The broadcaster PBS said, SWOT is needed more than ever as climate change worsens droughts, flooding, and coastal erosion. NASA said SWOT was of pivotal importance. It said, we're going to see Earth's water like we've never seen it before. The satellite is the size of a sports utility vehicle. It took 20 years to make and cost $1.2 billion. High-precision radar will measure the height of water on 90% of Earth's surface. It will survey millions of lakes and 2.1 million kilometers of rivers. It will identify areas of water loss that could threaten populations and coastlines. A NASA spokesperson said, SWOT will give us a tenfold improvement in the accuracy and spatial resolution of our measurements of water height. It will help scientists to understand the critical role the oceans play in climate change.
Hello, my name is Sarah Potter. I'm Professor of Linguistics. I'd like to tell you a little bit about emojis, the colourful glyphs that are used embedded in digital keyboards, the smileys, the winks, and so on. And I conducted recent research that found that 80% of us of the UK are now regularly using these colourful symbols when we communicate. A question I often get asked is it really the case that emojis are making us dumber? Are they a backward step, taking us back to the dark ages of illiteracy? And the answer is a resounding no. Why is that? Well, the research that I've been doing has found that 72% of 18 to 25-year-olds actually find it easy to express their emotions if they're using emoji. In addition to that finding, a further finding from my research is that nearly half of the 18 to 25-year-old age group in the UK also feel that emoji in digital communication enables them to express themselves more effectively, to in fact, to become better communicators. So why is this? It turns out that what emoji is doing is fulfilling a function apparent in the spoken channel that's not there already in the digital channel. So if you think about it, when we speak, what we do, what I'm doing now, is gesturing and I'm using intonation. And we use intonation actually to convey meaning that's not carried by the words themselves. So I could say with passion, I love you. And with falling pitch intonation, with a falling pitch contour, this is a declaration, presumably, of undying love. But if I say with a rising pitch contour, I love you, that can be a derisive counterblast. So what this shows is that the intonation, the pitch contour, whether it's rising or falling, actually changes the meaning of words. So gesture and intonation we know in the spoken channel, when we're speaking face to face with one another, make us more effective communicators. Now, what we've found is, my research shows that in the digital channel, where nuancing is often stripped away, emojis add this further information. They fill in the missing tone, if you like, in terms of the communicative message. And this is the reason why, especially in the 18 to 25-year-old age group, so the younger people are often in the vanguard in terms of digital communication. This is why it enables younger people to more effectively express themselves. And this is pretty amazing, I think. Hello, my name is Sarah Potter. I'm Professor of Linguistics. I'd like to tell you a little bit about emojis, the colourful glyphs that are used embedded in digital keyboards, the smileys, the winks, and so on. And I conducted recent research that found that 80% of us of the UK are now regularly using these colourful symbols when we communicate. A question I often get asked is it really the case that emojis are making us dumber? Are they a backward step, taking us back to the dark ages of illiteracy? And the answer is a resounding no. Why is that? Well, the research that I've been doing has found that 72% of 18 to 25-year-olds actually find it easy to express their emotions if they're using emoji. In addition to that finding, a further finding from my research is that nearly half of the 18 to 25-year-old age group in the UK also feel that emoji in digital communication enables them to express themselves more effectively, to in fact, to become better communicators. So why is this? It turns out that what emoji is doing is fulfilling a function apparent in the spoken channel that's not there already in the digital channel. So if you think about it, when we speak, what we do, what I'm doing now, is gesturing and I'm using intonation. And we use intonation actually to convey meaning that's not carried by the words themselves. So I could say with passion, I love you. And with falling pitch intonation, with a falling pitch contour, this is a declaration, presumably, of undying love. But if I say with a rising pitch contour, I love you, that can be a derisive counterblast. So what this shows is that the intonation, the pitch contour, whether it's rising or falling, actually changes the meaning of words. So gesture and intonation we know in the spoken channel, when we're speaking face to face with one another, make us more effective communicators. Now, what we've found is, my research shows that in the digital channel, where nuancing is often stripped away, emojis add this further information. They fill in the missing tone, if you like, in terms of the communicative message. And this is the reason why, especially in the 18 to 25-year-old age group, so the younger people are often in the vanguard in terms of digital communication. This is why it enables younger people to more effectively express themselves. And this is pretty amazing, I think. Hello, my name is Sarah Potter. I'm Professor of Linguistics. I'd like to tell you a little bit about emojis, the colorful glyphs that are used embedded in digital keyboards, the smileys, the winks, and so on. And I conducted recent research that found that 80% of us of the UK are now regularly using these colorful symbols when we communicate. A question I often get asked is it really the case that emojis are making us dumber? Are they a backward step, taking us back to the dark ages of illiteracy? And the answer is a resounding no. Why is that? Well, the research that I've been doing has found that 72% of 18 to 25-year-olds actually find it easy to express their emotions if they're using emoji. In addition to that finding, a further finding from my research is that nearly half of the 18 to 25-year-old age group in the UK also feel that emoji in digital communication enables them to express themselves more effectively, to in fact, to become better communicators. So why is this? It turns out that what emoji is doing is fulfilling a function apparent in the spoken channel that's not there already in the digital channel. So if you think about it, when we speak, what we do, what I'm doing now, is gesturing and I'm using intonation. And we use intonation actually to convey meaning that's not carried by the words themselves. So I could say with passion, I love you. And with falling pitch intonation, with a falling pitch contour, this is a declaration, presumably, of undying love. But if I say with a rising pitch contour, I love you, that can be a derisive counterblast. So what this shows is that the intonation, the pitch contour, whether it's rising or falling, actually changes the meaning of words. So gesture and intonation we know in the spoken channel, when we're speaking face to face with one another, make us more effective communicators. Now, what we've found is, my research shows that in the digital channel, where nuancing is often stripped away, emojis add this further information. They fill in the missing tone, if you like, in terms of the communicative message. And this is the reason why, especially in the 18 to 25-year-old age group, so the younger people are often in the vanguard in terms of digital communication. This is why it enables younger people to more effectively express themselves. And this is pretty amazing, I think.